Leviticus chapter number 26. All right, the Bible says, "Ye shall make you no," verse number one, "ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you to go upright." Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us just to be at your house this morning. Thank you for the word of God and just the way it ministers to our heart. And Lord, there's so many truths, so many applications in your word. And God, I thank you just for giving it to us. Lord, I'm glad that I live in a generation that has the whole Bible, Lord. And Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we would use it every day. I pray that we would allow it to guide our lives, help it to be the standard by which all things are measured. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, he talked about sowing and reaping. And he was very specifically in Galatians chapter number 6, where it talks about, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And that there's a statement there, due season. And I kind of got, I don't know, it's just sometimes when people preach, it's really bad of me, I guess, because sometimes people preach and they'll say something. And honestly, like, I know I should be listening to the rest of it, but my mind kind of already started to work on, you know, in that statement. And I know it's probably a fault, but that due season, you know, and one of the first things that I thought about was when it talks about in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And, you know, you think about, wonder why Jesus spent 33 years on this earth. And I think some of it was as an example for us as a Christian, you know, to be able to pattern our lives after that. We were at a youth conference, and I'm going to say this, and maybe I should have done some checking first, but one of the guys that was preaching, he said that there's only actually, if you actually count the days that are recorded of Jesus's life, there's only actually like 52 days worth of events in the Bible, of specific days. Okay, obviously there was, you know, 33 years worth, but specific days, there was only like 50 some days of his life. And I thought, you know, wonder why, you know, if it was just the fact that Jesus had to come and Jesus had to die on the cross to be that sacrificial lamb, you know, what would have prevented it from being, you know, when he was 5? Or you'd say, well, I know it wasn't prophetic. It didn't fulfill prophecy. But why did he stay here for 33 years? Okay. Well, I think there was a due season. Okay. When things come due, it's because it's that time. We're coming around fall very rapidly. Seems like crops have just very quickly have changed this year, and pretty uniformly they've changed. And you know, it is due season. We're coming up on that due season. And you know, I think about that because you can't harvest in the middle of July. Yeah, the corn's all grown to the right height, but you know, unless you're cutting even cutting silage, they don't do that till later. why the due season? Because in all honesty, yeah, you could run a machine through it, you could mow it all down, but you're not going to get the fruit until the due season. And I got thinking about that and some other areas, and I apologize to Ms. Lauren and Mrs. Walton. Some of this is repeat from chapel and Ms. Biber, so apologize to that. But I've also been kind of I'm 33. I'm going to be turning 34 this year. And I wouldn't say it's midlife crisis, because it's not a crisis. It's not like I feel like I got to go out and, you know, buy a motorcycle or, you know, get a tattoo or nothing. You know, I don't I don't really have any desire to do any of that. But there there is a time that you do start evaluating, okay, hey, you know, if God gives me 70 years, I'm pretty close to halfway. And in all honesty, you start evaluating, what have I done with my life? And as Pastor said, I think every year you ought to evaluate, what did I do with my life this last year? What am I going to do with my life this coming year? Have I, you know, been a good steward of the time that God has given me? And, you know, I'm kind of at 33 and I've been thinking, it's like, you know, I had to really start saving up for the future. All right. And that's a good thing. I think saving is a good principle. I'm not a real good saver. I'm just going to be honest with you. Okay. And I'm not. But it's something that I recognize I need to do. And I also, I want to do that. And so it's also this idea of, okay, I'm going to invest for the future. Okay. So I've got some people I've been talking to. I've got some counselors I've been kind of getting some ideas from. I've been reading books. You know, I think there are men out there. I'm not saying that they're Baptist or anything like that, but I believe that in some ways there are people that are, you know, Bible even says that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And there are people out there that are financially smarter, way smarter than I am. And so, you know, as you know, I want to be wise and I want to do the right thing. But there are some principles here that I want to, that I guess because that's been on my mind and I've kind of been studying that a little bit. There are some very, very practical, very biblical principles as far as investing. And the thing is, and we'll get into this, but we invest not for today. We invest for tomorrow. And it's not even for tomorrow. You don't invest even necessarily for tomorrow. That's too short term. Because due season, the only way that we get fruit, Brother Josh, is that you wait that 6 months, 8 months. It does no good to plant that and then expect a harvest the next day. But many times I am very impatient. And we live for the immediate, we live for the right now, okay? But any good investment, you know, everybody wants quick money. That's why people play, that's why the lottery is so popular. That's why the lottery is popular. They don't want to invest in the future and let an investment work like an investment's supposed to. They just want instant gratification, okay? Well, everyone knows that the lottery, that's a terrible investment, okay? You know, except for the people that aren't, you know, you talk to, well, I won the lottery, okay? Well, how much did you have to put in before you did that? And two, I think you could probably research this. I don't know of any winner of the lottery that dies, unless they just die like right after they win the lottery, that dies rich. They spend it all. Because if you got the character, if you don't have any more character to save your money, you're not going to have any more, you know, to invest it. You're not going to have the character to save it once you have it. Okay. So anyway, we're going to talk about Leviticus chapter number 26. And I'm going to show you in if you go down to verse number 4, the first three verses are commandments. These are things that God says, if you'll do these, this is what will happen. Verse number 4 is what will happen. Then the Bible says, and down through most of the rest of what we read this morning, Bible says in verse number 4, then I will give you rain in what? What time? Due season. I will give you rain when you need it. I will give you rain when it's required. Due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. I've told you before, I've planted some fruit trees. A lot of you in here have planted fruit trees. You know, planting a tree that is a long-term investment. You know, you don't plant trees for your benefit by and large. You plant trees for the next generation. You know, a tree takes a long time to start producing fruit. In comparison, you know, you plant crops or you plant a garden, that's a pretty short-term gratification of your investment. But God says here, I'm going to give you, you obey me, and I'm going to give you fruit when you need it, fruit down the road. So there are some promises that God gives us. In Psalms chapter 104, flip over there. I'm going to show you a few verses here. Psalms chapter 104, I'm going to show you there are some benefits to waiting. There are some benefits to waiting. Psalm chapter 104, verse number 27. The Bible says, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in what? Due season. Go to Psalms chapter 145. 145, verse number 15. The Bible says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. All right? That, you know what the Bible's saying? He's like, hey, God, you do what's right, and God will give it to you. You know, the thing is, it's like, you know, I get done with work. I get done, and I'm going to be very honest, kind of transparent with you. You'll be like, Brother Chad, you're terrible. Okay. You know, I get done with work or something, and I'll be, you know, I'm a bit hot all day and whatever, and I'm getting ready to go home, right? And so what my flesh wants is a glass of sweet tea. Or whatever, a bottle of sweet tea. And so, you know, the easiest thing to do is to go to Casey's and buy one, right? Because why? Because you want it. Your flesh wants it. We want it. And so it's easy to go and buy one. But the truth of the matter is, if I waited 10 minutes, I've got iced tea in the refrigerator at home. That doesn't cost, I mean, I'm saying it doesn't cost me anything, but it costs me a fraction. I mean, literally a fraction of what that, you know, gas stations don't make their money by gas. Gas stations make their money because people go in and buy all this other junk. Okay. But that's the way they make their money. Okay. You know, realize if you go and buy stuff in bulk, you know, you can, anyway. But what my flesh wants is the immediate. It wants literally. And that's a very quick, instead of waiting for 10 minutes, it wants instant gratification. And you know how many times it's easy just, yeah, I got, you know, sometimes I don't carry cash on purpose. Because if I don't have $2, you say, Brother Chad, you should be more disciplined than that. Okay, maybe I'm not. But if I don't have two, you know, if I got $2, I got change in my pocket, it's like, I'll go get it. And I'm going to show you an example here later that's actually kind of mind-boggling. When I read this in one of the books I was reading, I was like, wow. So I'm going to help you with that. But this isn't, I'm not just talking about finances this morning. I'm also talking about the way we live our lives. Okay? The way we live our lives. There is a time to live. All right? And as I look through the Bible about different times, different seasons, you know, God's placed us in a season to live in. I wasn't born 50 years ago. I wasn't born 100 years ago. I was born when God wanted me to be born. You were born when God wanted you to be born. There is a time, there is a season. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. That word due, I was kind of looking up that word due. Due time. Listen, God's placed you here for a reason. I don't care what your age is. God has placed you here for a reason. And he didn't, you know, well, I just feel like I should have been born, you know, in the last century or whatever, you know, 100 years ago. Well, God didn't, that's not what God placed you here for. God, you know what? I'm not thrilled about the America my kids have to live in. But the truth of the matter is, didn't take God by surprise that they were born and they're going to live through it. Okay? That's their season. That's their due season. So we have this time that we live in. There is a time to sow. Proverbs, we're going to go through a lot of this quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. The Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You know what? There's times that we sow. There's times that we do good. There's times that we put forth. When Bible says, when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. If I've got something in my hand and I want to give it to you, okay, that is in the power of mine hand to give it to you. But when I do that, it leaves my hand. Okay? It's talking about it requires sacrifice. When you're going to help somebody, it requires sacrifice. Okay? So it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, the Bible says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? You know, there's a time to speak. Pastors talked about that. The 10 royal laws of speech. I think it's 10. We should look at those. But a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season. How good is it? You know, how many times in Proverbs, the Bible say, cast thy bread upon the water. You know, there's just some things in life we do, not because we're going to get any return out of it that we see, but there's just sometimes you cast your bread out upon the water. And you know the thing about casting your bread on the water? It's the water under the bridge. It disappears, right? But you know what the Bible always says? It will return unto you again, all right? That's one of the mysteries of God's work, that financially, okay, like I said, remember I was reading books by non-Christian people. Financially, doing some of the things that we do doesn't make sense. But you know, there are some Bible principles that financially don't make sense. But God still rewards that, okay? But there is a time to sow. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It is important to invest while you are young. This is one thing I've really learned, kind of the hard way, okay? I didn't really have anybody just sit me down and, you know, my dad was good with teaching me finances, but I didn't really have anybody set me down when I was 20 and say, you should invest in the future. Because if you start, the numbers are, you know, some of you that have no numbers, the numbers of, Albert Einstein said, compounding interest is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Albert Einstein was a pretty smart guy, okay? Compounding interest is your friend. Listen, I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about our kids too. When you invest when they're young, you invest in a young person. You have no idea the potential that that kid has. Okay? And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But not just in the young people, but invest, listen, young adults my age, it, you know, I just had a verse came to my mind, but it's not in my notes. But invest while you're young, okay? Invest, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer, okay? And what did he say? You need to give God your youth. Don't wait until you're a senior saint to say, well, I've got all my money now. Now I'm going to serve God. Compounding interest is not your friend. Whereas if we as young adults, we would invest our lives into the ministry and into people while we're young, okay? You wait till you're 60 years old, there's only going to be a certain amount of people that you can actually touch and influence with your life. You start when you're 20. We got some young people in here. Guys, if you start when you're 20, investing in young people, okay? My mom and dad, they had their 50th anniversary, okay? You start flipping through yearbooks or books, and the people, the amount of people, because they started working with young people and started serving God when they were young, the amount of people that they have invested in, okay, they're not starting today. They started when they're 20s. And the amount of people that they invested in, listen, folks, it's compounding. Okay, Miss Darcy's not up here. I don't know how many years Miss Darcy's taught second grade Sunday school. Years. Miss Carla's not up here. Okay, but I remember seeing Miss Darcy's picture in some of their books. Okay, listen, it's not just about the investment that they made. It's also about the investment that Miss Darcy made. So if you know compounding interest, this is a huge investment. Okay? Why? Because they took time when they were young to invest. Listen, time is our friend. Not just in finances. Time is our friend in investing in the lives of people. Time is your friend and compound interest is your friend. I use kind of a silly example in chapel. I said, okay, and I did a daily compounding just because it accumulates much faster. Most interest is compounded yearly, I think. But I said, okay, let's say if you take a dollar a day and you add a 10% interest to a dollar a day, and you added a dollar plus 10% interest every day, okay? So a dollar, first day you got a dollar, the interest earned is what? 10%, folks. 10 cents, all right? So the second day you've got $1.10 plus a dollar, so you've got $2.10. So how much is that? 21 cents, all right? So the third day, you add a dollar, so you got $3 and what? 31 cents, okay? Now, in 3 days, you've earned 31 cents. I think by the end of the first week, I don't remember the numbers, by the end of the first 2 weeks, I think they had earned like $3. Versus if you just go spend that dollar every day, you know what you have? Whatever you bought with that dollar every day. Okay? Sweet tea. I heard that. But you know what? And so now the jokes, now I take the team sewing. And, you know, I'm terrible about it. You know, we always go out to eat, right? And it's kind of one of those things, and I'm glad we go out to eat. And therefore, you know, I would watch, they don't do it now because we've talked about some things. But, you know, they would spend $11, $12 on a meal. And I'm like, okay, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Okay. Now, are they hungry? Yes, they're growing teenage boys. They are hungry. But, you know, they wait 2 hours. They could probably go home and get some. Now, it's not, you know, it's not glazed, you know, chicken strips, all right? Probably not. Maybe the, you know, quick heat chicken nuggets from, you know, Sam's or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, realize how much money that would save, okay? So we've had some heart-to-hearts. And, but, you know, it's still, you go in there and you smell it and you look at their menu. You know, have you ever got a Big Mac from McDonald's that looks like the one on the menu? No, they do that on purpose. Okay. They have this, you know, glorious looking sandwich. And so what happens? And here's what happens. Your immediate wants take precedence over the long-term future, both physically and financially. All right. Now, listen, many times our immediate, even when we invest in people, I know I'm bad about this with my kids. Instead of spending that extra, hey, daddy, can I go with you? No, I got to get this done. You know, honestly, it's going to cost me maybe 30 more minutes. But you know what that could do long term? Okay. And I'm bad about that. I'll admit that. The enemy of a good investment is wanting the here and now. Many times we sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. We sacrifice temporal pleasure at the cost of what it will cost us in the future. Remember, a dollar today is not a dollar tomorrow. And a young person today is not a young person tomorrow. They're completely different. Okay? Why? Because time and compounding interest. Okay? And I was reading this this book, and I kind of went on a rant about bottled water. You know how many generations of people drank water without it being in a bottle? All right. Now, granted, I don't know we had quite as much junk in our water that we do now. But This guy gave an illustration. I don't care what you drink, what your beverage of choice is, okay? But if you go buy it, okay? Let's say you spend a dollar a day on whatever. A water, a tea, you know. I would say McChicken, but they're like $1.60 now, all right? So you spend a dollar a day. So that's $365 a year, okay? In 10 years, if you save that, in 10 years, you'd have $6,145. Now, we're going to talk about compounding interest here, okay? And I'm going to just give you some numbers. So in 10 years, $6,145. In 20 years, you would have $22,781 in 20 years, all right? 30 years, and you're going to see the numbers really, and here's the thing about compounding. You get to the 40-50 year range, and it's like, wow. In 30 years, was I at 30? In 30 years, you've got $67,815. Now, that's just a dollar a day, and you put it away, and it compounds. 40 years, you've got $189,722. In 50 years, you've got $519,732. If we would just say, I'm going to take this dollar that I could be spending for right now. Now, I'm not saying that you spent that much money. Okay, you didn't spend that much money. That's how much you would have got if you invested that much money. Okay? But what we want is that we want it now. I want to see my results now. You know, farmers don't go out and say, I want this today. They know that they got to go out and they got to put in this one kernel today and they get this tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Months down the road. But we got so many people, even in our, you know, I got to have it today. I want it today. You know, I was talking to Brother Jeff Reiser. You know, why do I serve God? Listen, folks, it's not for the benefits of today. Now, it's not that I don't love you guys, and it's not that I don't like coming to church and enjoy the fellowship of today. But I'm not here for today. You know the reason I serve God now? You know, when I was a teenager, I served God because that's who all my friends were. That's who I was, that's my comfort zone. But now I don't serve God because of that. I serve God because of what am I putting away for the future? Okay? What am I giving the opportunity for my kids? You know, God daily loads us with benefits. That's daily. But there's also something that's way down the road. Okay? It's so my kids and your kids. Bertrand, why do you do Bible Club? For my kids and your kids. Why do you act like a nut sometimes? For my kids and your kids. It's not for the immediate. Listen, most people, well, I would never get up and act like a fool like that. Okay? It's not for today. It's for years down the road. Okay? I thought about people, young people that, just since me and my wife have been here, working with the teens, you know, young people that have walked away. And you know the reason, you can basically sum it up. Why do they walk away from what they've been taught and what they grow up with? Because they want everything today. They want all the finances. They want all the pleasures of today. But what's it going to cost their kids? I was talking to Brother Jeff. Some kids of people that don't go to church, a bus worker is going to have to knock on their door. That's how they're going to have to get to church. Whereas if they would have just said, I'm going to invest in the future. Yeah, it's going to cost me something today, but look what I'll have tomorrow. One of the problems with America is because everyone wants to live for the here and now. They want to live for today. Instead of what's America going to be like for our kids? Okay. This whole stimulus junk, it's everybody wanting money today. I gotta have money to live. Baloney. If you just be disciplined, you got money to live. And don't get me wrong. Have you seen the now hiring signs? They're out there. You may not make what you want to make, but it's out there.
I could go out. I don't care what it is. I could drive through the town of Jasonville. If I needed $300, I could stop at 15 places on the main drag through Jasonville, go up and knock on the door and say, hey, I noticed this about your building. Can I fix this for you? Or can I pressure wash this? I bet I could make $300 if I needed it, just like that. It's out there, people. But what? Well, I just, you want, everyone wants a check, self, you know, deposit in your account. But you know who it's going to cost? Our kids. That's who it's going to cost. All right? We live for the here and now. We decide to live our lives for what pleases us now instead of what we will have in the future. You will have more now than me now, but it will be a great cost to your future. It's important. So first of all, I noticed that it was important to invest young. Secondly, it's important to invest consistently. All right. I think that's a big, from what I was reading, consistently investing, consistently putting money into something is an important, it's not a one-time wonder thing. I'm just going to put $5,000 in when I'm 20. Hey, that's great. And that's going to work great dividends for you. But, instead of putting $5,000 in when you're 20, if you did $100 a week for the next 30 years or whatever, $10 a day for the next 30 years, you realize how much money is a lot of money. Like we're talking, you would be a multimillionaire just by doing that, okay? And investing it. Bible says, it is counted in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. I don't think, I'm glad that God didn't say, you got to be financially savvy, or you got to hit the jackpot, or you got to be a one-time wonder. You know what God said? Just be faithful. Just be consistent. Just put it in, okay? Brother Josh doesn't plant his corn and then, plant down one way and then pull out a lawn chair and sit there and watch and wait for it to grow. Right? We don't do that. You know what you do? You just keep going. Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes it's weary. I don't see any fruit. I don't see any fruit. Look what they just bought. Look at all the, side-by-sides. They must have had a bow fishing tournament here. I don't know. Do you know about that? I don't know if you know about that. But they had in Hannah Field last night. Was last night? Hannah Field last night. They had lines of airboats and bow fishing rigs. I'm talking probably $80,000-$100,000 rigs sitting there. And it's like, yeah, that would be fun. And you know what? This morning, they fished all night. I was at Casey's this morning, or went past Casey's. They had a roll-off dumpster sitting there, dumping fish into it. That would stink, all right? But they're weighing them and dump. I mean, you got lines of these guys dumping. You know what? Listen, yeah, they've got it. They've got all the stuff. But you know what I did this morning? I got on a church bus. I like bow fishing. I could have hooked up with John and went bow fishing last night. I like to do it. But you know what? I got on a bus and I said, all right, this is a good investment. That is a temporal thing. Fun? Better believe it. It's a riot. All right? Slaughtering stuff for no reason. All right? It's fun. But is it a good investment? It's important to invest consistently. It's not the man that wins the lottery, but rather the man who invests on a regular basis that will end up rich. We take our kids on youth conferences and camps, but I really believe that it's the day in and day out investments that add up. Okay? It's you parents that invest in your kids. We take them and make some big decisions because it's a big deal. But it's that day in, day out, godly example that's what makes a difference in their lives. Pastor's been faithful. He's been faithful week in, week out, teaching us the word of God. He's been faithful. Okay? And you know what it is? That's what a good investment is. Okay? Think about all the people he's touched with his life. You know, he's touched mine. Okay? And in that regard, anybody I touch, he's also vicariously touching those people too. Okay? I was thinking when I was writing this, I thought of our, you know, Brother Tom Walton, Brother Don Mowry, you know, Brother Bob Townsley, Brother Charles English, Dad. And I know that we've got other deacons. But you know what? These guys just faithful. Faithful. Thank you. Thank you for that. Sunday school teachers. You know, I talk about Miss Darcy. She's down there still teaching. She taught me when I was in second grade. Faithful. Miss Carla down there taught me when I was in, whatever, kindergarten, five-year-olds. Faithful. Okay? Faithful people. We went to Lloyd Nicholas's funeral, or not funeral, viewing the other day. Monty Nicholas was my master's club leader. And you know what? I thanked him because I do Bible club now. So all the kids that I touch in Bible club, he, in a way, is touching those kids. Bob Ross back there was one of my master's club leaders. Everybody I touch, Brother Bobby, you are touching too. Why? Because, yeah, was it easy to come in after work and have to get ready for master's club? Frank and Sheila were my master's club leaders too. Was it easy to do that? No, you sacrifice. But it's, I'll put it away for the future. All right? So I want to thank you guys. Time to reap. Obviously, you all know that you get more than what you sow. Okay? I don't know, Brother Josh. I don't remember numbers. I know there's even rows on all the corn cobs. I know that. 800 kernels, something like that. I don't remember. You plant one, you get 800. That's a pretty good investment. That's a better than 8% return of investment. Listen, say, Birchhead, what about all the kids that have walked away? What about all the kids that have, listen, if I got 10 kids and one of them serves God, that's a 10% return on investment. You can't beat that in almost any money market out there. You got 5 kids, you got a 50% return on investment. Richard, are you still heartbroken when some don't serve God? Yeah. You're always sad when you lose because you do invest, you do give, you do sacrifice. If it's in the power of thine hand to do it, you give that to somebody. But it's still worth the investment. So don't give up. You know what? I've still not given up on kids. They may pull through, and you know what? If they pull through and I can still touch their kids, it's a good investment. Don't give up on it. Truth of the matter, not all investments pay out. Some investments break even. Some investments may be lost. But what keeps investors coming back? It's those that just say, hey, I don't know, but I'll just keep going. I'll keep serving God. I'll keep doing it. Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I will give you, Leviticus, I will give you rain in due season. Deuteronomy, I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. Listen, due season is not tomorrow. Due season many times is not 5 years from now. Due season is when you're, you know, 50 and people you had in youth group are, you know, your pastor now. That's a good investment. That's a good investment. So folks, let's not waste our lives on the here and now. Let's look ahead. Let's look ahead to what's coming. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, thank you for all the people. I look across the auditorium, people that have given me work. I think of Brother Weddle back there, just taught me a lot of different things, and I thank you for him. And just different people I worked for and different people that invested in my life, Sunday school teachers, Bible club, Master's Club leaders, just different people, Lord, that invest in me. Lord, help me to invest in others. Help us be wise stewards of the time you give us, of the the resources that you give us. And help us not to live for the here and now. Help us live for tomorrow, for the next year. In Jesus' name, amen.